This week's Edra, we have the mitzvah of Shinan Tumna Vanecha, which is the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So I want to speak about some aspects which are relevant to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So today after Tishba, I'll start and introduce the topic with a marimokim, a source that we might have heard over Tishba. So the Gemara in the Dorim Daf Peyala, well-known Gemara, as I said, very likely we heard this discussed yesterday. So the Gemara discusses a pasuk in the Haftarah from Tisha B'Av, Amah Avdah Haaretz. Why was the land lost? The Gemara really, in the context, has another question as well. And the Gemara goes through the pasukim, Al Azvam Es Kairosi, and then it says, Lo Shomim B'Kaidi, Lo Holchaba, Omer Rabbi Yehuda Merav, She'im Avarachim Bar Torah Tchila, because it didn't make a bracha on the Torah before they learned Torah. And as a well-known Ran who quotes Rabbeinu Yonah says, so go to the end of his words, he says, meaning the Torah wasn't valuable to them, it wasn't an important thing for them. It wasn't important enough for them to make a bracha on. They weren't learning lishma for the correct reasons. Therefore, they would be mazalzel, they wouldn't take the bracha seriously. Behind it, like holchaba, that's what it means, like holchaba. Claimar, but kavanasa lishma. They weren't learning Torah in a suitable way, they weren't machshiv Torah, they didn't think it was important. They weren't learning Torah lishma. And the Ran famously finishes, Eim divri harabah chasid, veim noim ro'im l'vish amram. These are befitting the great Rabbeinu Yonah, who said this wonderful pshat in the Gemara. So, what did they do wrong? They learned Torah shelo lishma for the wrong reasons. So, I wanted to share some sources, some of the Achronim who speak about the idea of learning Torah lishma, and discuss the ideas that stem from that. So, again, if we want to sort of correct what we might have done wrong in connection with Tishba, shelo lishma, so let's discuss what learning Torah lishma is all about. So just to start very, very briefly, this isn't going to be the main focus of what I'm discussing, but if we're discussing Torah Lishma, there's a well-known Nefesh HaChaim, the beginning of Shaar Dalet. The Nefesh HaChaim says, what does it mean to learn Torah Lishma? So he says, don't think that when you're learning Torah Lishma, it has to be that every moment you're thinking of Dveikus with Hashem, and you're trying to sort of think of two things, the Sugya, at the same time as thinking of Dveikus. He says, no, you don't need to do that. Start off learning with a thought that you're learning for the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You can daven for a Siyata Dishmaya from HaKadosh Baruch for the beginning. You can even pause in the middle to daven for Siyata Dishmaya. But he says, when you're actually learning Torah, B'shas Esik V'Hiyom B'Torah, V'adash Ein Tzorech Oz L'Inyan Dveikus Klal. When you're actually learning Torah, you don't have to have a separate thought that you need to be somehow connecting to HaKadosh Baruch. No. Sheho Esik V'Hiyom Levad. Learning Torah, absorbing Torah into your brain, into your mind, that in itself is Dveikus. Learning Torah is connecting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Dibur, Hu Dibur Echad or Sinai. Learning Torah is the biggest connection you can have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the biggest Dveikus you can have. So yes, you should do it with the right kavanah. You should start off with intent you're doing it for the mitzvah, but when you're actually learning Torah, the biggest kavanah that you can have is just to think about the sugya, try and understand what you're learning, thinking about what you're learning, and that in itself is connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through trying to absorb the Torah into your mind and understanding it as best. So that's the well-known Nefesh HaChaim. And I want to move a step further from that and discuss a well-known statement of the Egli Tal in his Hakdama and his introduction to the Sefer Egli Tal. So the Egli Tal, a well-known Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos, written by Rav Avraham Sachachov, father of the Shemesh Shmuel, also wrote Shavuos Avnei Nezer. And in the Hakdama of Egli Tal, very fascinating Hakdama introduction, he explains why he's writing a Sefer on Hilchos Shabbos. He also goes off in a little bit of a tangent. and he discusses this idea of learning Torah Lishma in his Hakdama to Eglei Tal. I'll read you some of the Losha that he uses. It's very, very powerful words that he says. So he says, Umidei Dabri, Zohar Ezkar, Masha Shemati Kusas Benel. While I'm speaking about learning Torah, I have to mention a mistake that people make. Tayin Medera Haseichal, Binyan Limit Torah Kadosha. People make a very fundamental error when it comes to learning Torah. But Amrun, they think, Yehalomeid Machadish Chidushim, somebody who learns Torah and Machadish Chidushim, Umvasameach or Misanik Limit, somebody who enjoys learning, who gets a geschmack from their learning. Einzeh Limit HaTorah Kol Kach Lishma. People think that that's somehow a deficiency in learning Torah Lishma. If you learn Torah and you find Torah Geshmak and you hear a great shiur, or you're learning very Geshmak HaSeifa and you really enjoy it, people make a mistake and they think that that's not called learning Torah Lishma, because Torah Lishma has to be that you're learning without any personal gain or any personal enjoyment or personal benefit. And if you're enjoying learning Torah, then that's not called learning Torah Lishma. So he says that's a very big mistake. For Adraba, Kizehu Ika Mitzvahs Limud Torah. Actually, it's the exact opposite. A basic fundamental aspect of learning Torah is Liosos V'Sameach, to be happy, to rejoice in learning Torah, U'Misaneg B'Limudai, to have Oileg, to enjoy learning. V'Oz Divrei Torah Nivla'in B'Domai. And if we really enjoy our learning, then the Torah is absorbed in us to a much greater extent. That's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do, to learn Torah and to enjoy Torah. So he says, yeah, of course, if you're learning just because you find it geshmak without thinking of the mitzvah at all, of course, that's not ideal. But he says, halomed nishim mitzvah umisanik b'limudai, somebody who's learning and enjoying it, haris ilumud lishma, that is perfect learning Torah lishma, b'kulei kodesh, it's kulei kodesh, v'gamki hatanug mitzvah, and enjoying Torah itself is a mitzvah. So it's such a mistake to think that you shouldn't learn Torah, because that itself is part of the mitzvah of learning Torah, is to learn Torah and to enjoy your learning. It's all part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Before I go on, just to tell you how he continues with that, I wanted to suggest a remez to this, something I thought of once. The Chasam Sofer at the beginning of Parshas Truma, he speaks about the kruvim, which were on top of the aron, and he says, if you imagine how the kruvim looked, so they're posim knafayim lemalo, so you had the body of one kruv, and you had the wings that's extending on the side, and you had two of the kruvim. And he says a very beautiful idea. He says that each kruv has a central body and two wings on either side. It looks like the letter shin or sin. So he says the two kruvim on the aron represent two letters sin, sos. And he says the kruvim represents sos, rejoicing, the idea of sos anochi alim rosecha kumbayt yishal arov, that the kruvim, if we look at the kruvim, we'll see the word sos, rejoicing, and that will give us the message, the importance of learning Torah and rejoicing in Torah. This is what the kruvim spell, the word sos. So just wanted to suggest maybe there's a remez, a hint, or the Eglei Tal saying, because the halacha of the kruvim, if you look at the psukim in the beginning of Truma, it has to be miksha ta'asaisa. The kruvim had to be one unit together with the kapiras, the top of the aron. You weren't allowed, Rashi explains, you weren't allowed to make the kruvim separately and then fix them onto the aron. You had to have, Rashi says, a lot of gold to begin with. You bang it, and then the kruvim themselves form up from the kapiras that you've made, but it's all one unit. So if the aron represents Torah, then the kruvim, which is the sos anochi alim rosecha, it has to be one unit with aron. It's not a separate thing, like a separate inyan, a separate mitzvah. The idea of sos, of rejoicing and enjoying Torah, is one and the same, together with the mitzvah of limud Torah. So it can't be connected separately to the aron. It has to be formed from the aron, because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah includes in it, not just learning Torah, but also enjoying the Torah that we're learning. And in that way, we connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we connect to the Torah in a greater way. So this is the Eglei Tal. In a very fascinating way, he goes on to combine sort of halacha and agada. It can be a little bit complicated to follow. Hopefully I understand it. Hopefully I'll be able to explain it. But even if we can't follow every single step, but it's still very, very important things that we can take out of what he says. So he says he uses this idea to explain a difficult Rambam, and he says like this: the Gemara in Sota, well-known Gemara, actually Gemara in a few places, Psachim, Sota, Nazir, Hayres, a few places, where Sota Daf Mem Zayin says, "Amarin Hudam Arav La'olam Yasek Adam Batayro Mitzvahs Afaki Shelo Lishma Shemitay Shelo Lishma Bar Lishma." A person should do Tayro Mitzvahs even if he's not having the holiest intentions, not doing it lishma, doing it shelo lishma, but mitzvah shelo lishma, bar lishma. If you do Torah mitzvahs even without the best intentions, but you keep on doing that, eventually you'll get to Torah mitzvahs lishma. What's the proof? So the Gemara says, we see that Balak brought 42 karbanas as he was hosting Bilam, the various stages in Parshas Balak. We see he brings 42 karbanas, and that wasn't for the purest of intentions. If we're generous, we'll call it a mitzvah shelo lishma. But still, zacha v'yotso mimenu rus, and that's a chus. Rus was descended from him. Sheyotso mimenu shloima, and Rus, of course, was the ancestor of David HaMelech, and then Shloima HaMelech. Shekosu be elef oilos yale shloima, and Shloima offered up 1,000 karbanas. So in the schus of Balak's 42 karbanas shelo lishma, he was zoicha to Shlomo HaMelech, who was bringing karbanas in the Beis HaMikdash. And we see shemitzvah shelo lishma, bar lishma. So the Gemara in many places, one of the places, Sota Daf Mem Zayin. Okay, if we look at the Rambam changes from the Gemara. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah and Hilchos Teshuva says, la'olam yasek adam batayra, bein lishma, bein shelo lishma, shemitzvah shelo lishma, bar lishma, in two places. The Rambam doesn't say anything about mitzvahs. The Rambam says, la'olam yasek adam bat taira. A person should learn taira shelo lishma, shemitai shelo lishma, bar lishma. Even if you're learning taira not for the purest of intentions, you'll still lead up to lishma. So ask the Eglita, why does the Rambam change from the Gemara? The Gemara says, la'olam yasek adam bat taira uva mitzvahs. It's a big enough gemina. You know, if you're doing mitzvah shelo lishma, according to the Gemara, very good, you'll come to lishma. Why does the Rambam leave out the idea of doing mitzvah shelo lishma? All the Rambam says is you should be oisik batayra, bein shelo lishma, bein shelo lishma, bein lishma, shematay shelo lishma, bar lishma. Why does the Rambam leave out doing mitzvah shelo lishma? It only says learning Torah shelo lishma can lead to lishma. Okay, that's the question of the Eglei Tal. To answer this question, he brings a run in Rosh Hashanah, and the run in Rosh Hashanah deals with a stira in the Rambam with regards to mitzvahs trichas kavana or lotrias kavana. So there's a question in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah: when we do a mitzvah, do we need to have kavana that I want to be yotzer the mitzvah, or are we yotzer even if we don't have kavana? So for instance, we hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah. If we say mitzvah strichas kavana, we have to have kavana. I want to be out. So the mitzvah, the person blowing the shofar has to have the kavana to be like yas. If we say mitzvahs einon strichas kavana, then you don't need to have kavana. The Rambam says when it comes to shofar, you need to have kavana to be yaitzah. So the Rambam says mitzvahs tzrichas kavana. When you hear the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you need to have kavana to be yaitzah to do the mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah. When it comes to matzah, the Rambam says if somebody stuffs matzah down your throat, kafu v'ochal matzah, even if you didn't intend to do the mitzvah, you're still yaitzah the mitzvah. So the Ran asks a stira in the Rambam. The Rambam paskens, you need to have kavana with shofar, you need to have kavana to do the mitzvah. How come when it comes to matzah, eating matzah, you don't need to have kavana? Even if somebody puts the matzah down your throat, you don't really know what's going on, you don't have a chance to think you want to do the mitzvah, you're still yaitzah the mitzvah of matzah, even if you don't have kavana to be yaitzah. The Ran answers, in the Ran in Rosh Hashanah, it's going on the Gemara Chav Ches, he says there's a difference between a mitzvah which you have hanna from, a mitzvah which you benefit from, which you enjoy, and a mitzvah which is just a mitzvah. So shofar is a mitzvah you're not enjoying, and the mitzvah is lovely. You're not necessarily enjoying the hearing the blast of the shofar. There you need to have kavana. When you're doing a mitzvah, where part of the mitzvah is to eat, to enjoy, you know, eating normally goes along with satisfaction, with enjoying what you're doing. When you part of the mitzvah of matzah is to eat the matzah, there, since you're eating it, you're automatically enjoying it, you don't need to have kavana to be yotzer. Okay, so this is the idea of the run. that normally the rabban holds you need to have kavana. When you're doing a mitzvah which you enjoy, you don't need to have kavana to be yotzer the mitzvah. Okay, that's the run. Now, the Eglei Tal goes back to our Gemara and he makes a very fascinating observation. So, what does the Gemara say? La'ilam yaso adam Torah mitzvahs, afabi shalai nishma bar nishma. So, why is that? How do we understand that Gemara? Well, what's the idea that when you do a mitzvah shalai nishma, that will eventually lead you to do a mitzvah lishma? What's the pshat in that Gemara? How can we understand that? So I think we'd all suggest that it's the idea, as Eglei Tal calls it, herigol. It's that you start off doing the mitzvah, and it's not for, you know, you do it because somebody's going to give you a reward if you do the mitzvah. Okay, it's not the best of intentions, but if you keep on doing it, eventually you'll get used to doing it, and then even when the reward is taken away, when incentive, as they call it nowadays, then you'll continue to do the mitzvah, and it will lead you in the correct path of doing a mitzvah. The Rambam says, it can't be that that's pshat in the Gemara. Why is that? Because what was the raya of the Gemara? The Gemara says that we see from Balak that he brought 42 karbanas, and in the schus of bringing 42 karbanas, shalai lishma, he was zaycha that his descendant was Shlomo HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech brought thousands of karbanas in the Beis HaMikdash. But one second, if the understanding of the Gemara is, if we do a mitzvah shalai lishma, we get used to it, and it becomes second nature, and then we'll do it for the correct reason. So what's the connection of Shlomo to Balak? Balak did the mitzvah shalai lishma, and many hundreds of years later, his descendant does a mitzvah which is lishma. But one's got no connection to the other. What's Balak's actions got to do with Shlomo? So the Eglei Tal says it's not a question of herigol. That's not the understanding. It's the idea that there's a skula of a mitzvah. That the mitzvah, when you do a mitzvah and you're mekayim a mitzvah, that mitzvah is a schus, and it helps you in a way that we can't understand. Shalai kederach hateva, you do a mitzvah. That mitzvah will help you to do the mitzvah in a better way. You start doing a mitzvah shalai lishma. The schus of that mitzvah will help you do a mitzvah lishma, and therefore. And in fact, it's what the Gemara says, he points out, in the Shebeschar, it's a schar for the mitzvah. Part of your rewards for doing a mitzvah shalai lishma is that eventually you'll get to do the mitzvah lishma, and therefore it can happen, it works, even if it's a different person. Balak did the mitzvah shalai lishma, and his schar is that his einakol, Shlomo HaMelech, gets to do the mitzvah lishma. Which is a very fascinating concept, because the way the way we use this thing about a mitzvah shalai lishma, we say, I'll do it shalai lishma, incentives and chinuch and parenting, whatever. According to Eglei Tal, you have to think very carefully how you apply this, because it's not just a question of, oh, if you do it, you'll get used to it, and then you'll do it with the correct kavanas. It's actually the schus of the mitzvah, even if you do it shalai lishma, which will help you do it lishma. Okay. So the Eglei Tal says, now that we've explained it in that way, we can understand why the Rambam misses out mitzvahs. So why is that? Because you need this chus of a mitzvah, which you're doing shalai lishma, to help you to do it lishma. But he says, the Gemara that says, when you're doing a mitzvah shalai lishma, that will help you lishma, that Gemara holds, and he proves this, mitzvahs einon tzrichas kavana. Mitzvahs don't need kavana, the kavana is not so important. And therefore the Gemara holds that even if you do a mitzvah shalai lishma, that's also a chus, because even if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, you're still doing the mitzvahs. Mitzvahs ain't srichas kavana. You've still done the mitzvah, you perform the mitzvah. And Rav, who says that in the Gemara, says you still get a schus, and it will help you to come to do a mitzvah shalai lishma. However, the Rambam holds, when you do a mitzvah shalai lishma, Eglei Tal says, you know, a particular type of shalai lishma at least, when you do the mitzvah for the wrong reasons, you're not having kavana to do the mitzvah. If your motivating factor is, right, I want to do it because I want to do a mitzvah, everyone will think I'm amazing. So if you're not doing it because you want to do the mitzvah, then you're not having the right kavana, and you haven't been mekayim the mitzvah. And therefore, the Rambam leaves out doing mitzvah shalai lishma, because he holds mitzvahs need kavana, he leaves out doing a mitzvah shalai lishma. When it comes to Talmud Torah, however, the Rambam holds any mitzvah where the part of the mitzvah is enjoyment, it doesn't matter if you don't have kavana. And therefore the Rambam says, with matzah, it doesn't matter if you don't have kavana. With Talmud Torah, the Rambam learns, learning Torah, part of learning Torah is enjoying what you're learning, And therefore, even if you're doing it shelo lishma, you're still yotzer the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, which is an incredible idea of the Egli Tal, that when you learn Torah, since learning Torah is enjoyment, it's like eating matzah, even if you don't have the kavanah, you're still yotzer. And therefore, learning Torah shelo lishma can bring you lishma, because you've still got the schar of learning Torah lishma, because part of the learning is the enjoyment. Whereas with other mitzvahs, the Rambam holds mitzvah strichas kavanah, the Rambam doesn't bring this idea of doing mitzvah shelo lishma because he holds you're not yotzer the mitzvah in that case. Well, it is rather complex, this idea, but I think that the sort of main point of the Egli Tal, first of all, how he understands the mitzvah of the idea of doing mitzvah shelo lishma, shemitah shelo lishma, bar lishma, and also the very, very important idea that part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not just learning the Torah, but also finding a geshmak and learning and enjoying the Torah that we learn. Okay, so this is the idea of the Egli Tal and the Hakdamah of Egli Tal. I wanted to move on to another aspect of Talmud Torah, which is also found in the Hakdamah of a Sefer, the Hakdamah of a Sefer Igros Moshe, also has a connection to what we saw on Tisha B'Av, or at least preceding Tisha B'Av. The last pasuk of, right at the end of the Haftarah of Shabbos Chazayin, it's about Shiva Sheftayach Kavar Shaina, V'yatzayach Kavatachila. So, speaking about the days of Mashiach, I'll return your judges to how they were originally. The Rambam in Perish HaMishnah comments on that, and he says, here we see that the Sanhedrin will begin to function before Mashiach comes, and he explains how the smicha will work there. He says, even though we don't have a smicha anymore from Moshe Rabbeinu, but still, the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael can sort of reinvent smicha. I'm not going into that now, it's a very fascinating Rambam. The Rambam learns from this pasuk of Shiva Shoftai HaKavar HaShoina that the Shoftim will return, the Sanhedrin will return, even before Moshiach comes. Okay, so I wanted to speak a little bit about what it means to be like a Moira Hirah, to give a Hirah the responsibility of somebody who's giving a Psak Halacha, like a Dayan who's giving a Psak in Hirah. So, Rav Moshe, in Introduction to Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein quotes a Gemara in the following context. So he's writing a Hakdamah and he's explaining why he's writing Igros Moshe. And he says, Rav Moshe was a very, very humble person, and he says, what right do I have to write a sefer with Psokim, with Piske Halacha, and the sefer, how can I publish such a sefer? He writes that he doesn't feel worthy to write such a sefer. And he quotes that Rabbi Akiva Eger, in the Hakdamah of his Sefer, starts off in the following way. He says that really Rabbi Akiva Eger was worried, he didn't want to publish a Sefer on Halacha for the following reason. Because the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says, Talmud Shelo Higia Le'Ira, somebody who gives a Psak Halacha, and he hasn't really reached that level of being able to give a Psak Halacha, or Meire, so it says, Shoite Rosha Gasura, but all of them are Rabim Chalolim Hippila. So the many victims of this person who hasn't reached the level of giving a psak and gives a psak, it's a very, very bad thing. So Rikin Eger writes in the Hakdamah of his Sefer, I really didn't want to give a Sefer on Shalos HaTshuvos because I'm worried that I haven't reached the level of being Moira Hira, and Chazal Tess is a very bad thing if you're Moira Hira and you haven't reached that level. So Rikin Eger. But then the Gemara continues, and it says, "Kol chacham sheyigia lahirah ve'eino moireh." A chacham has reached the level of giving hirah, being able to paskin, and doesn't. Harizeh moneya Torah, he's withholding Torah. Noisim mivsholis with nirabim, it's a stumbling block for people. Va'olav ne'man, about him it says, "But sumim kol harugeha." Mighty are all the casualties of this person who doesn't give a psak halacha when he's able to. So Rabbi Kveger says he was sort of torn between these two statements of the Gemara. If he doesn't write a sefer, if he doesn't give his psak halacha, maybe he is royal of Hirah, and he can, and he's not. And if he does, and he's not on the level, then that's also not a good thing. So Rikveg says, but in the end, I was swayed that I'm going to publish my sefer because I'm worried that maybe I'm in Higia Lahira, and if I don't give the psak, then I fall into the category of somebody who's able to paskin and doesn't paskin. And Rav Moshe, of course, says that this is Rikveg's, we know Rikveg's very, very, very big honor, he's tremendously humble, and he has this discussion at the beginning of his sefer, and he says, you know, he's only publishing his sefer because he's worried that maybe he's Higia Lahira, and and therefore he needs to paskin. And Rashi goes on to sort of discuss this and explain it, how it's relevant to him. I just wanted to share a very interesting idea I saw on this Gemara from Rabbi Eliyahu Shik, who is a sefer called Ein Eliyahu on the Haggadah of the Gemara. This is Gemara Avodah Zarah Daf Yud Tes. He says, if we look very closely at the Gemara, when it speaks about the person who isn't ready to paskin and paskins, it says about him, Rabim Chalalim Hipila. This person has caused many, many problems, basically. It says the word Rabim, many problems. When it speaks about a Chacham who's able to paskin and doesn't paskin, what does it say? Vatsunim Kol Harogeha. Everyone is a victim of this person. So how come when it comes to the one who does a paskin and does paskin, it says Rabim? When it speaks about the one who can paskin and doesn't paskin, it says Kol. And he says a very beautiful idea. He says that the person who can't paskin and does paskin, he might get it right sometimes. Okay, he's not really suitable to paskin, but if he's asked, is this kosher or treif? Okay, you know, by chance he'll get it right sometimes. He might get it wrong many times as well, but you know, statistically, at least he'll guess the right answer sometimes. It's a rabim chalalim. Many times he'll make a mistake, but you know, sometimes he'll get it right. There won't be a mistake every time. When it comes to somebody who's able to paskin and doesn't paskin, every single person who comes to him and he keeps quiet and he doesn't give an answer, it's a chaval every time. He's wronging that person who needs an answer, and he can help that person, and every time he's not giving that psak. So that's kol harogeha. Every single time he's withholding the psak, that's withholding something useful, something important. In fact, Rav Moshe says it's a chiyuv. One of the arguments Rav Moshe says, for, even though he didn't want to publish a sefer, one of the reasons he gets to publish it, he says that when somebody asks the Rav Moshe, it's a chiyuv on that rav to answer, and he's not allowed to transfer the question to somebody else, you know, unless he has a particular reason to. As it's part of the chiyuv, the mitzvah of to answer a shaila for the person who's asking him, and that's why this Talmud Chacham who doesn't answer, it's at sumin kol harogeha every time, and he's not answering. It's for sure he's withholding something important from the person who's asking the question. So I thought maybe this is something that we can think about. You know, even if this particular aspect of Hayra is not relevant to us, but you know, we've all got talents, we've all got you know, ways in which we can help other people, benefit other people. You know, Chazal say, "Chayv al-Olam bishvilini v'ra'olam." Everyone's obligated to say, "The world is created for me." Okay, so if everyone goes around saying that, well, if it's created for me, it's not created for you. Now, everyone has a unique ability to impact the world in a positive way. What I can do, another person can't do. I have a particular kaychus that I can help other people with, and other people don't have these kaychus. So if I'm not sure, well, should I try and help somebody, or should I not try and help somebody? So what do we see here? If we don't even try, we're definitely not gonna help them. Okay, if we try and we don't succeed, okay, so we fail. But you know, at least give it a try. If we've got an ability to help somebody, we can see something that we can do and nobody else can do. You know, if we don't, it's a chaval. We've got this ability to help the world, to help other people in a unique way. You know, we need to try our best, try and do it. And if we do so, we should get Siyata Tishmaya. Nitz Shem and Elskos, we should be Zoicha to Moshiach and Meher Gomein Amen.
Amen! Yeah.